And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then in the quiet, still whisper of your spirit in our hearts. Amen. During the month of August, we are spending time with the acronym of REST. Last week, we started with responding appropriately with Jesus feeding and the disciples feeding the 5,000 together. And this week, we continue with Jesus in what I heard Kirk Byron Jones, an author, once call a sacred pace. And by sacred pace, Dr. Jones meant that Jesus had this rhythm of resting and working. It's easy for us when we look at the scriptures, when we study the stories of Jesus, when we see the healing works that he did, it would be easy for us to think that Jesus worked all the time and never took a break, that Jesus was constantly helping and working and teaching and casting out demons and delivering people from ailments. And yes, he worked for those 3 years of his ministry constantly doing so. But Jesus was fully God and fully human. Like we were talking about the children's sermon, he needed a nap once in a while. And he probably liked those naps when he got them. And in being fully human like that, Jesus had to take time not only to rest his physical body, but his emotions as well. Last week, in talking about the feeding of the 5,000, we recognized that Jesus was trying to be alone when the 5,000 plus people followed him. He was trying to be alone because he was grieving the death of his beloved cousin and friend, John the Baptist. And he had a little bit of time on the boat ride from one land to another where he was able to rest. But then as soon as he got there, there were people in need of healing. And so he healed them, and then he led the disciples in feeding them. So that's where we are today. The 5,000 have been fed, and the 12 baskets of leftovers have been gathered. And look with me again in verse 22 of today's passage, where it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray." Today we join Jesus in his sacred rhythm of evening prayer. At the end of the day, Jesus, who has been on the waters and on the land and on the shoreline, has now retreated to the mountain. And that reminds us of how his predecessor Moses went to the mountain to see God's face, to be alone with God. It reminds us of a few chapters earlier where he goes onto the mountain with three of his beloved disciples, and when they go together, he is transfigured before their eyes. And now Jesus is back in that place of being alone, of being with the glory of God, being strengthened by God. And we have to wonder, what did Jesus do there? Because it was likely that he spent hours there on the mountain. It says in verse 23 that when evening came, he was there alone. But then later it says that the disciples do not see him again until early the next morning. Have you ever thought about the fact that sometimes when we sleep at night, that is when God gives us dreams because he can get our attention at that point? That sometimes God is speaking to us as we sleep, as we rest, because our minds are not so focused on doing and doing and moving constantly. When we're in that place of being, when we're in that place of evening prayer that lasts well into the morning, that's sometimes when God gives us the strength and the grace for what we need that's ahead of us. And when Jesus tells the disciples to get into the boat, we are reminded of the very simple things that he tells them to do. Verse 22, he makes them get into the boat, and then we do not see him again from the mountain until in verse 26, it says, "The disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear." There is a great meme circulating on social media this weekend, because this is the passage for today, of a young Jesus at the bathtub standing on top of the water and Mary, his mother, pointing and saying, "Get in." And that reminds us of, just gives us a comical picture of the power that Jesus had. But Jesus got the power to walk on the water by spending that time in evening prayer with his Father. Jesus got, and there was something that went back to his childhood. There's some truth to that meme that is circulating, that comic that is circulating on social media. Jesus had that power to walk on water from a young age, but it was after he fed others. It was after he gave of himself and he replenished himself in the presence of God that he was able to do the impossible. And so it is with us. We need those rhythms of prayer. We need those times of work and those times of napping, whether we take a physical nap or we just take a moment to be alone somewhere with God. It is in those times of evening prayer when we are spent, because at the end of the day, many of us are spent. Our energy is gone. Our emotions are fraught from the things that we've dealt with. And Jesus reminds us here that that in resting and in spending time with God, in developing these rhythms of rest, that we too can step onto the waters with him and with Peter. And when we stop and look at what Jesus is telling us in today's passage, his instructions are really quite simple. Years ago, for those of you who remember the Far Side comic strip that used to be in the newspapers, there was one that became very popular. It was a picture of a door on a building. And above the door, it said, "The School for the Gifted." And then it had the sign, "Pull." And there's a guy pushing with all of his might up against that door. So it's a door that you're supposed to open by pulling, and he's just standing there pushing it and pushing it. That simple command of push is right in front of him, but he just doesn't see it. I had a similar experience on Monday. I was over at Oak Hill Academy and walked up to these double doors. Those of you who are familiar with Oak Hill will know exactly what I'm talking about, and I pray to God you've done the same thing that I did that day. There are these two doors, and on the left side door, it said, "Use this door." And I looked at the sign, I read it, and I reached for the other door and immediately opened it. And when I opened it, it made this horrible sound. And there were students in a classroom. Some of you may have been in that classroom. I'm sorry I disrupted your class if you were. But there were students in that classroom who were startled by the noise. And when I got in, I couldn't really get the door to close correctly again. And yet I read what was right in front of me, but I was so distracted and I was so worried about so many things that I could not follow the simple command in front of me, just like that guy in that comic strip pushing on the door when it said simply pull. Well, in today's passage, Jesus gives us simple commands, friends. He tells us to get in the boat because we've got somewhere we need to be. And then he says, "Do not be afraid." Okay, that's pretty easy. Get in the boat, do not be afraid. And then finally, Peter calls to him, and Jesus says, "Come." So that's the message resonating to us today, friends. Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Get in the boat, first of all. Yes, it's getting dark. Yes, the winds are picking up. Yes, you're going to walk through storms. And yes, you're going to feel like the world is falling apart sometimes. You're going to hear of, as the prophets once told us, wars and rumors of wars. We will see we will see racism at its worst. We will see prejudices driving us apart. We will see great losses in our community. We will see all of these storms come up, and we will have to sail through them and walk through them. But Jesus' voice carries from that place of evening prayer, "Get in the boat anyway. Do as I tell you. Do not be afraid, and come." Simply come to him. When Peter hears that command and he hears Jesus calling out to him that he can come, we hear in verse 29 that he gets out of the boat, he starts walking toward the water, and he comes toward Jesus. But in verse 30, when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." We are there, friends, on the water with Jesus and with Peter. Sometimes we feel like we're the one who is sinking because we're exhausted. We feel we are the ones who have been taking care of loved ones. We are the ones who have been taking care of our children. We have been taking care of our parents. And we feel absolutely exhausted, and we cannot find that space for evening prayer. We are Peter reaching out saying, Lord, save me. I know you told me which door to walk through, but I walked through the wrong one anyway. Sometimes we're in that place, and we just reach out a hand in need of the body of Christ to pull us up. But at other times, dear friends and dear church, we are called to work with the power of Jesus walking on the water. Sometimes we have to be the ones who reach out and help pull one another up from the miry clay. We have to sometimes work for that same spirit power to come work through us so that we can pull one another out of the water, that we can help one another learn to walk again, learn to swim again, learn to get on the boat together again. All of this happened around 4 o'clock in the morning. Does anybody get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? My dad does, and he does that because he says it's the quietest time of the day. But it's also one of the darkest parts of the day as well. 4 in the morning is well known as being a time that poets call a time of stillness where everything is different. And there's a poet named Reeves who did an excellent TED Talk back in 2015 about time and about the hour of 4 a.m. He's a poet who was fascinated by the hour of 4 a.m. And he said there's something about that time that's like a foreign land to us that we must traverse, that we must go out into, that this is a time when most of the world is still sleeping, where many of us are still in the dark. And he said, but it's like that. It's like 4 a.m. is a time that is a foreign land that we must visit. Well, friends, it's appropriate that the disciples are out in the windstorm and out in the waves at 4 o'clock in the morning, a place of foreign land, a place they have not known before, a place of fear, a place of anxiety, a place where everything seems to be falling apart. But it is in those foreign lands, it is in those places of barrenness, it is in those places of helplessness where Jesus walks toward us and where we as the body of Christ must walk toward one another, going into those places where we must work for mercy and for justice and for reconciliation. We must walk forward into those places where we help one another heal by showing Christ's love to each other. We are called not just to be on the boat with the disciples, but we are called to walk on the water with Jesus and with Peter. And we find that strength and we find that stamina through walking with God, even through the deepest and the darkest hours of the evening and those hours of the morning too, communing with God, searching for Him, and realizing that even though we are not as strong as we sometimes think we are, that God's strength gives us what we need to make that journey and to follow Jesus's commands. One of my favorite singer-songwriters who passed away, unfortunately, at the young age of 42, about 20 years ago, was named Rich Mullins. Many of you may be familiar with Mullins' music and his songs. And one of my favorite songs that he recorded was called We Are Not As Strong As We Think We Are. And it says this, when you love, you walk on the water. When you love, you walk on the water. Just don't stumble on the waves. We all want to go there something awful, but to stand there takes some grace. When you love, when you risk loving, friends, as Christ loves, you walk out on the water. And we do stumble on the waves, and we all want to get there to the other side something awful, but to stand takes some grace. And we draw that grace from the Word of God, from Jesus Christ our Lord. We draw that grace from one another. For we are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion and choking on the fumes of selfish rage. With these our hells and our heavens, so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are. And because we are not as strong as we think we are, we need grace We need the grace of God. We need the grace of each other. And in one another and in the face of Christ that we see upon one another, we find the grace to stand, knowing that we might sink, knowing that we might fear. But when one of us is Peter, perhaps another one of us can be Jesus. And when one of us is Jesus, then we look for the Peters to help rise again. And with the disciples, we can and we will declare as the body of Christ, truly this is the Son of God. Truly this is the Son of God. And he says to us today, come to the mountain with me. Come out on the water with me. Come and be with me. For I am indeed the Son of God, the one who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen. Let us now stand as we are